Perry family, a little bit about where we've been, what sort of got us to where we are at the moment. But particularly looking at sort of the skills and things that God has taught us along the way to prepare us for the next step. So for many of you, our earlier stage and meeting and things like that could be a story that's unknown. So for me, my first little taste of mission and what it meant to be, even what mission could be, was a person who my parents used to invite around a bit, and we would share meals together, would hear the stories about her travels to India and about her coming back and sort of the things that she'd seen. Something that sort of laid the foundation for me, like that's what I do with the children, with having the person who's preparing the container, person who's getting the soil ready, person who's planting the seed, person who's doing the watering. One of those early parts of preparing the container in my life was my parents and how they had an open home where people came and shared around the dinner table about stories. Most of those stories as a young child, I had no real context for where they really sort of fitted into the whole scheme of things, but they, I guess, prompted some curiosity in me. When I went to university, I had a chance to go on a short-term mission trip to Cambodia. And that little piece of the puzzle was where it gave me the taste of Cambodia as a country and Cambodia and what mission could be. My concepts from that whole trip, actually coming back, were in my mind probably quite incorrect about the role that I played as a sort of 19-year-old on that trip and the things that we'd achieved. But it was the stirring and the lessons in my heart of going, there's something there that could actually prepare me and I could do this in the future as well. For Rebecca, my wife, who's currently hitting the buttons, for her, a lot of it was going, how do we really make an impact in the world? Before arriving at Cambodia, she worked for World Vision, and going, what is it, you know, I want to make some change, some sort of global change. You know, what can I do? And that was sort of the promptings or the something that she had heard in her heart. But both of those backgrounds, those two containers, came to Cambodia in 2004, and that's where we met. She's from Australia, Victoria, I'm from south of New Zealand, and we met in Cambodia, serving at a school called Hope International School. At that point, the school was very new. When I first arrived, so this is actually a photo taken in 2006. In 2004, the school was about 40 students, from primary school, so sort of full primary, so through to year eight. As the students grew in age, the school also grew in age, and it grew in size as well. The school was set up to serve the missionary community in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and it was there that me and Bex both went independently, but thinking that arriving at that school to teach would give us the opportunity to do real mission work with the Cambodians. While we were there for 2 years, we really found that our heart was actually for this people group called Third Culture Kids, or Missionary Kids. And here you can see there's a few different bubbles there about what makes them who they are. So the red one you can see is sort of like the culture, that like their passport culture. So for our children, the New Zealand or Australian passport that they're on is this culture, the red one. And then you've got that culture. So for our children, they've lived in Ethiopia and Cambodia, and that's impacted on who they are as children. It's changed a little bit about their visions of the world, about what normal is. For them, playing on an icy bit of gravel is not normal, and it's something that they are really sort of treasuring and sort of going, ooh, this metal's cold. For someone growing up in this part of the world, that's no longer such a novelty. And the green one is the smattering of other countries. For these third culture kids who are living in a different location, there's a lot of other people living around them that also bring in their own different perspectives and things as well. The school that our children are going to have got 30 different nationalities represented in that school. Each of those nationalities brings a little bit of a different view on things. So it's those three key parts that end up with them being the middle, with the little black dotters, is the mix of who makes them who they are. For us, we feel called to really serve children who are like this. Now, they're becoming a lot more common in the world as global travel and things like that happens and families relocate for different reasons now. But our heart is really for missionary kids, for third culture kids, who are dealing with that, where do I quite fit in? And we love working with them. This is my first class ever. Now, for a teacher, your first class ever is a little bit special. There's something about it that just makes it, I don't know what it is, but something. I don't know what the farming equivalent is. Is it the first time you plow a paddock and drive the tractor or something, that the first time you do it, it brings a huge amount of satisfaction, but over time, maybe that first paddock isn't the same as the 100th paddock. But whatever it is, that first class of teacher is really special. So this is the children, and as you can see, there's a lot of different nationalities in that small class. There's American, there's Filipino, there's British, there's also Australian and New Zealand, and there are people who are mixtures of things. The two darker skinned people in the middle row, at the back, there's a darker skinned girl called Kia, and in front of her brother Calvin. They are Indian Fijian who were adopted by an Australian family who are living in Cambodia. We grew to really know their family quite closely. We did house church with them, and I used to go cycling with their father. But they're an example of people who have got a whole mixture of things happening in their lives. And any of the children in that class have a whole lot of different perspectives impacting their worldview. So, serving in Cambodia, the key thing that we learn, the key skill that we learn, is that our heart is really for missionary kids. We went there with perhaps a misguided notion, but during that time, God really shaped us and taught us the skills that we have, the abilities that we have, and what He really wanted us to use them for. After our time in Cambodia, we left Cambodia and came back to New Zealand, where we had two children. We worked in Taranaki and Central North Island, Pukekohe, and we also met up with the organization SIM. So SIM has been something that for us has been key. When we first joined with SIM, we didn't really know what we were getting into. We knew they had a bit of a reputation that was mostly positive. We knew that they were able to go from New Zealand to Ethiopia, which was what we wanted to do at that point. We knew that they were established. Other than that, we didn't have much of a concept about them as an organization. We ended up approaching them. This is where I think God has a lot of the directing pieces in your life, where there are things that He puts in place. There's a cup of coffee that we had up at Parachute, which was a key cup of coffee with a person from SIM that I think helped us down that path. There was the previous director, Murray Overton, four directors back, of Bingham Academy, who we managed to have another coffee with, Palmerston North, when he was passing through for medical reasons. And it's things like that, those God moments in our lives that have really helped, I guess, capture and direct and shape where we've ended up. But looking back, you can really see God's hand in it. At the time, it's sort of like, oh yeah, coffee, sounds great. But SIM is and as you in this congregation know probably as much as a lot of us, are well established, been there, they've done it a lot, and they bring a lot of the support and strength and skills when things go wrong. And being on the mission field now for 6.5 years, in sort of one stint, you see that things do go wrong. They go wrong for your friends around you, they go wrong for your own family as well. It's a tough place, and when things go wrong, you really want to have an organization that can help support you and get you through it, and when needed, ask people to leave the field when it's the best thing, and when other times to provide the support on the field for you. And we've really appreciated, 6.5 years on, the support that SIM is able to provide when you're actually there. So any of you thinking about popping out, I do highly recommend an organization, at least equivalent to SIM. So we went to New Zealand, we had children. We were always thinking about how can we get back to the mission field, and that was where we came in contact with Bingham Academy. So Bingham Academy is, as you know, for some of you know, is a well-established school. It was set up by SIM originally. About 8 years ago, it became a little bit more open to other missionaries and sort of had a board of 5 governing missions now, which sort of include the SIL, the Southern Baptist, the Norwegian Lutheran and SIM are the key parts of that, and the AG. At Bingham Academy, we really learned about quality education. So before we had a heart for third culture kids, But it was at Bingham that we saw the key importance of actually enabling children to graduate with a recognised qualification that can get them into a university or into the next stage of their life that they want in the country that they want to return to. Bingham does that well. They've been working on it, they've been fine-tuning it, they've put a lot of effort into enabling their graduates to be able to return to the place that they desire to return to. Bingham is a mission-focused school. It is set up for missionaries primarily. It has some other students that attend, but its key reason for being is really for mission. And serving there for the 5.5 years that we did, we loved it. We loved the country. Ethiopia has got a fantastic climate. It's got a very diverse people group. It's got a place that we treasured as a family, raising our children in. The school itself is it's a thriving school. It's a school that we loved being part of and putting our piece into. During that time, I really developed my skills as a primary school principal. I learned how to work a team of sort of 20 to 30 people. I learned about how to sort of manage that and how to also raise the expectations for the quality of education happening. During our time there, Rebecca was involved in child safety stuff a lot of the time and really grew in her skills and abilities with working with some of the darker side of what does happen in large communities and learning how to protect the children that we had under our care. So those are the skills that we learned there. And at the time, we knew we were there and it was God's purpose that we're there. We loved our time there. But during that time, towards the end of it, we realized that this was the end of a season. It was coming to the end of a season. We started looking at different places again, and Hope, really just Hope International School, Cambodia, where we first met now 11 years ago, really came to the top as a place that had the right fit for our skills. We didn't quite know what we were heading to, and we probably underestimated the impact of transition on a family. Doesn't matter how many times you transition, transitioning countries still takes its toll, still takes a while to get settled again. But this is us arriving in Cambodia just over a year ago now. And we arrived there, and it is hot. That photo shows the green. That was during the rainy season. And you can still see their outfits are quite different than the outfits that we wear around this part of the town. But we've arrived there to work again at Hope International School. Our heart is still for missionary kids. Our skills have grown, developed, and changed a little bit. And this past year, we've both been really seen how God has given us and taught us the skills previously that we're really using now. I guess, unfortunately, Bex has had quite a busy year with child protection stuff and child safety. It's not one of the things that you want to have a busy year of, but it's the skills that she learned previously through the last 5.5 years that really gave her the ability to deal with that well and to work through the right processes and to get the best situation for the children involved. For myself, it's a school that has grown fast. As you saw earlier, it was a small school. It is now a school of sort of 460, spread across 3 campuses, preschool to year 12. And it is a school that, as it's grown, takes a lot to manage that sort of growth. So it's grown in size, it's grown in abilities. The systems and structures is something that it hasn't been able to keep pace with that rapid growth over the last 12 years. For me coming in, I'm a systems and structures person. So coming in, I'm going, oh, okay, we need to do this piece and this piece. So again, just acknowledging that God has sort of trained us up over our journey to have the right skills for the right piece at the right time. So this is Hope now. It has just moved into this property 18 months ago. It was a Bible college. It was run by the Wesleyans. For whatever reason, it didn't quite take off. So we managed to purchase it from them on a 15-year lease, and we put up an extra building to enable us to have enough classroom space for the students. It's a real godsend, that piece of property. The city of Phnom Penh is expanding fast. Hope International School was sort of tied between sort of about 12 different landlords previously, and with being tied between landlords is a whole lot of things that you don't have control of. Now that we've got our own piece of land, we're able to actually move forward as far as professionalism as well, and providing that high quality of education, which you do need a classroom space rather than a converted bedroom to be able to deliver en masse. So arriving at home, we've loved it. But it's also been quite tough and quite tricky at times, and we hope in 5.5 years we'll be able to look back and go, oh yeah, yeah, that was why we learned that lesson there again. But as I sort of alluded to with the children, we've each got our own skills, we've each got our own abilities, and we hope that for us and for you as well, that we use our skills and our abilities at the right time in the right place, as God wants us to do. Referring back to the reading, is it Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants. And I think that's key. We've each got our own skills. In this room we've got different stages and seasons and generations. And that's important. I think different generations bring with them their own blessings and perhaps their own curses. The enthusiasm of youth and what that brings is something to be treasured and protected. And the Bible talks about 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But then it also has a little clause there. But set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And for the elderly, we're told to stand up in the presence of the aged, respect them, and it's key. With age, may or could bring wisdom, but we need to really respect the age, the elderly, and the wisdom that can really be brought to us youngsters in the room. As Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians, we each have our part to play. Whether it's the person planting, watering, but it's important that we do it out of an act of service. I think God's reminded me over the last year, when I was in Ethiopia, I had a very strong team around me, both professionally and also personally. We had some fantastic friends who were there to really support us, and we were very close to. I had a very close professional team, which and leadership is key. Moving to Hope, we don't have that at the moment. We hope that we will have it at some point soon. At the moment, we don't have the professional supports that we used to rely on, and we don't have the personal supports that we used to rely on. And it's when you change like that, you realize, I need to find where my actual reliance is. And I think for both me and Bex, this year has been one of actually, I guess, going back to God in a different way, as only sort of a tougher patch actually enables you to sometimes do. When everything's rosy, we enjoy just sort of going full steam ahead and going full steam ahead with the skills and abilities that we have. But it's when you're sort of stretched a little bit in whichever way, you go, okay, it's God that's key. And that's the little piece with the planting the dirt, you know. Doesn't matter how well we prepare the container, the dirt, the seed, we water it, it still needs the sun. It still needs that extra piece that actually we don't have control over and we need to actually rely on it. In Cambodia, we've returned there, and there's been some things that have really changed and grown. One of them is going back to the family that I taught, Kia and Calvin. This is the Bible translation that happened 10 years after 10 years of their work in that area. The Thompson family are agriculturalists. They are just real plant, sort of, I guess, would fit into this room quite well. It's the type of farmer that loves to talk about farming. When we were up there, he was talking about seed preservation and how he's using beer bottles to do it. It's been one of his little highlights. But he's done a huge amount of work with plant diversity in the area and also developing relationships with the local people group in Mondulkiri. 10 years of him developing relationships, him and his wife, have enabled this Bible translation to happen. And that's because the Wycliffe and the agriculturists have been working side by side. But both have their skills, that both had their abilities, very different families, very different abilities. The Bible translators have been working flat tack for 10 years to get the New Testament translated. The agriculturalists have been working flat tack for 10 years, developed relationships which would actually enable it to be accepted and sort of recognized by the community. And this happened in March. The unveiling or whatever of the New Testament Bible in their mother tongue. So that's a huge highlight. There's something else in the background that was going on as well. Is their children were educated. And their children were educated across sort of three key ways. Homeschooling, Hope International School, and also another international school set up for missionaries. Without that education part, those families of linguists and agriculturalists wouldn't have been able to survive those 10 years either. Things would have just fallen flat and would have returned to Australia. So each of us have our own little piece. Could I have translated the Bible? No way is that. There's no way I have the linguist brain that a lot of those Wycliffe Bible translators have. Could I have done the seed stuff that he did in the plant diversity? No. He's got a natural gift for it. He loves it, lives it, breathes it. But I can help educate his kids. And that's the part that we play in the piece. But each of those pieces is needed. But there's another one that's not often seen or recognized as well. And that's all the supporters back home in the different places. It's absolutely key. Between sort of, and there's a lot more than just the three groups there. There's a lot of other teachers and people around them as well. There's a huge number of supporters that are praying for them, that are supporting them financially, that enable them to stay on the field. And also, each of those people, there are tough patches that come along. And those supporters have been there during those tough patches too, to help them get through it, to help them get out the other side. And as we each do our piece to complete the task of service that we've been asked to do. When I look at this church, I see a few different generations represented. I see a church that has been here for a long time. I know that you've got the heritage of being one of the first to send off an SIM missionary. You've got mission hearts in this room. And I really want to encourage you to continue to play your part in that. To continue supporting, doing your piece, but know that it is incredibly valuable. That without each of us doing our piece, it couldn't succeed. Is any one of us more important than the other? No. Coming back on these furloughs, and I don't know what other missionaries have said to you, sometimes you feel like you're hailed as a giant, as a great. We're not. We go through the same troubles, problems, parenting issues as the rest of us. And we really do appreciate the support that we get from those back home. Anyway, so I just really want to encourage you. If you do know of any teachers, we are looking for teachers, feel free to send out the word. We would love to get some. We enjoy young, enthusiastic teachers who bring a lot of life. We also enjoy those who are closer to retirement, who bring a lot of wisdom and experience. But there's more than just us. And I really do just really want to encourage you in your support of mission in general. It's greatly appreciated. I could just close in prayer.